Now please get your Bibles and join me as I read from Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, and we will be reading verses 1 through 6. Let's hear God's word. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And then pay special attention to verse 5, which is our text for tonight's message. And he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. They shall shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod at its entrances, and he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and treads within our border. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may God himself add his divine blessing to it. O little town of Bethlehem. That Christmas hymn is based on our text, particularly verse 2. In King James, it reads this way, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." This is a prophecy concerning the birthplace of the coming Messiah, that the Messiah will be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And this prophecy was written more than 700 years before the Messiah was born. And according to verse 5, which is our main text, this Messiah shall be our peace. Look at verse 5 again. And he, referring to the Messiah, shall be their peace. Actually, in the original, the word there is not in the original. It's not there. And so you can read verse 5 this way, and he shall be peace. And of course, by implication, their peace and also our peace. The Messiah, the one who will come out of this little town of Bethlehem, will be our peace. And what Prophet Micah is saying to God's covenant people is this: the Messiah will be our peace when Assyria comes to attack us. We know that during this time, Assyria was a powerful and great nation whose capital was Nineveh. But Prophet Micah says, yes, the Assyrians will come and attack us, but the Messiah will be our peace. Now, keep in mind though that in our passage, Prophet Micah is using the Assyrians to represent all the enemies of God's people. The Assyrians here in verse 5 are those who want to disturb, distress, and even destroy God's people. But again, Micah says, Jesus is our peace against all the Assyrians. And may I suggest this evening that our common Assyrians are the following three. First, Satan. Second, sin. And then third, suffering, or really death, which is our last enemy. And so with God's help, under the theme, Jesus is our peace, we will consider the following 3 points. Jesus is our peace against Satan. Secondly, Jesus is our peace against sin. And then finally, Jesus is our peace against suffering. Or maybe better yet to say, in the middle of suffering or amidst suffering. So let's consider our first point. Jesus is our peace against Satan. As Assyria was the most powerful enemy of Israel at this time, so is Satan the most powerful enemy of the church today. The Bible tells us that Satan is our adversary. He is our enemy who walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you are a child of God, Satan hates you. And he does not want you to have peace of mind. He wants you to worry. He wants you to despair. He does not want you to have assurance of salvation. Satan wants you to constantly doubt and despair. We all know that God wants us to be still and know that He is our God, that He is in control of everything. But Satan comes to attack us. Satan comes to trouble us, to oppress us, so that we cannot be still. Well, we also know that Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. Revelation 12, verse 9. He deceived our first parents. And he continues to deceive their children and their children's children. Satan does not promote peace, but deception. He will mislead you, for instance, to thinking that you are saved when in fact you are not. Or conversely, he will mislead you to thinking that you are not saved when in fact you are saved. You see, Satan wants you to be confused. He is a liar and the father of all lies. He comes to you, dear child of God, and tells you a lie that God does not care for you, that there is no more hope for you. He then whispers to your ear, asking you to end your life now. Perhaps he tells you, why don't you just commit suicide? God does not care for you. Look what your God did to you. He afflicted you. He gave you a trial. He gave you pain. He took your loved away from you. Satan is also the accuser of God's people. He accuses them day and night, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Perhaps Satan comes to you telling you that you are too sinful to be forgiven, that the sin that you have committed is too great to be cleansed, to be taken away. Satan loves to do that. And he will say to you, look what you did. You did this and that. You disobeyed God. You were unfaithful to your family. You were unfaithful to God. And now you are here worshiping God. Your sin is too great to be forgiven. You see, Satan wants you to despair. Satan wants you to dwell on your guilt and shame. And of course, ultimately, Satan wants you to be with him in hell, where there is no eternal peace, but eternal punishment. Oh, but thanks be to God, we have Jesus, who is our peace against Satan. As our text says, look at verse 5 again, and he shall be their peace, or our peace, when the Assyrian comes into our land. Yes, when Satan comes to attack us, to trouble us, to accuse us, we have Jesus, who is our peace. Yes, Satan is powerful. We don't underestimate his power. He is powerful, but not all powerful. And we all know too that the Holy Spirit who dwells in us is more powerful than Satan. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus also declares in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, my fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of Satan's assault, we can have peace of mind because we know that we are safe and secure in the hand of our Heavenly Father and also in the hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace against our enemy, Satan. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. On the night before his execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. But Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as ever he did in his life, because he knew the peace of God, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. So can we, by the grace of God. Imagine, he knew that he was going to be executed soon, but he said, that's fine. I can still sleep peacefully because of Jesus. Because I know the moment I die, I will see Jesus. I will be with Jesus. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. My question for you is this. Do you have peace? Is Jesus your peace against Satan? Let's move to my second point. Yes, Jesus is our peace against Satan, but he is also our peace against sin. According to Micah chapter 5, verse 5, Assyria will come into the land of God's people not to bring tranquility, but to bring trouble. Well, sin is like Assyria in this sense, because sin does not bring peace, but problem. It does not bring serenity, but shame. Look what happened to Adam and Eve. The moment they sinned against God, they wanted to hide themselves from God among the trees in the garden. Why? Because of shame and guilt. You see, sin brings shame and guilt and even fear. If you are a true child of God, you know that very well. I don't need to explain that to you. When you committed that sin, what did sin do to you? It brought shame. It brought guilt to your life. And you felt so guilty. You felt so ashamed of your sin that perhaps you didn't want to attend church anymore. You didn't want to show yourself to your brethren. You didn't want to serve the Lord anymore. You didn't want to read His word anymore or even pray to God anymore. And our tendency is to dwell on our guilt and our shame. That's what Satan wants us to do. But remember, we have Jesus who is our peace against sin. Jesus can forgive you. He can cleanse you from all your iniquities. Yes, yes, from all your iniquities. Not just from some of your iniquities. You know, interestingly, you go to a store and buy a hand sanitizing lotion, and you will find out that the guarantee is that it can only kill 99.99% of the germs. Now, why not 100%? Because it cannot guarantee that. It cannot make such a promise. But I tell you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can guarantee you 100% that the gospel, in the gospel, God can cleanse you from all your sins. Yes, even that sin that you committed, which you think may be the greatest sin that you ever committed in your life, God can cleanse you from that sin. And God can take that shame and guilt away from you so that you can enjoy once again that relationship that you once had. That you can again commune with God. And of course, Jesus gives us peace by reconciling us to His Father. Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through our Lord, because He is our peace against sin. And once you have that restored relationship, once the broken relationship has been restored, then you can enjoy communing with God again. Then you can enjoy serving Him again. Then you can enjoy talking to God again in prayer and reading His word and worshiping Him and praising Him. Because you are restored. You are restored. Then you can indeed sing this Christmas song, "Hark! The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, reconciled through Jesus Christ, who is our peace against sin." And once you are reconciled to God, God is no longer against you, but for you. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You don't need to be afraid of God. You don't need to hide yourself from His presence in the trees of the garden. Now you can face Him with confidence. You can come into His throne of grace boldly, and you can claim all the promises that He has for you. Now you can worship Him with a clear conscience, with a forgiven heart. Now you can call him Abba Father. Without a hesitation. And so my question is this. Is Jesus your peace against sin? Do you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? And finally, as we consider our last point, yes, Jesus is our peace against Satan, against sin, but He's also our peace against suffering. Christian life is not free from the presence of Assyria. That is to say, not free from the presence of suffering. Or in the words of John Calvin, the Church of God would not be free from troubles, but God would preserve them as they go through trials and tribulations. You see, the kind of peace that we have here in our passage is not the absence of Assyria, but the assurance that Jesus, the Messiah, will always be there for us. If you notice in our passage, God does not say to His covenant people, okay, I'm going to take all your enemies away from you. No. You will face your enemies. In fact, the Assyrians will come into your land to attack you. They will attack you. But there is a promise. There is a promise. We read in verse 5. He shall be your peace when the Assyrian comes into your land and treads in your palaces. You have the Messiah who will protect you, who will sustain you, who will help you. And isn't it true that God has not promised us to have a suffering-free life? You know, unfortunately, nowadays many preachers preach that kind of gospel, the so-called prosperity gospel, that once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything will be smooth. Everything will be okay. No more suffering, no more pain. But the truth is, the more you want to serve God, the more you will suffer. If anyone would like to come after me, Jesus said to the crowd, let him deny himself and take upon him his own cross. In other words, you must be willing to suffer for my sake if you really want to follow me. Following Jesus is costly. And yet, many people today, many preachers today, they make it so cheap. Christianity nowadays is so cheap that you can claim to be a Christian without commitment. That you can claim to be a child of God and yet unwilling to make a commitment to God. People don't even want to become members of a local church because they know that once they join a church, responsibilities come. And they don't want responsibilities. They don't want accountabilities. They don't want to be under church discipline if something happens. It's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. You see, Christian life is not free from suffering. We will face Assyrians in this life. We will face hardships, difficulties. Oh, but we have this glorious, blessed promise in our text that Jesus will be our peace in the midst of all our sufferings, in the midst of all our Assyrians. Maybe this evening, you have your own Assyria. Maybe Assyria has come into your life in the form of sickness, bringing discomfort and pain to your body. Maybe you have cancer, disease, chronic pain. Maybe you are here listening, but deep within you, you are struggling with depression. Deep depression indeed. Panic or anxiety attack. The truth is, every Christian has his own or her own Assyria. I have my own Assyria. I have many Assyrians. Maybe you have many Assyrians too. So many that you feel so overwhelmed. Maybe you are about to give up the battle. Maybe you made a decision that this would be your last attendance in this congregation, in this church. Don't give up, my friend. Remember, we have Jesus, who is our peace in the midst of all our sufferings. Do not worry, do not panic, do not despair. Instead, listen, oh, listen to this wonderful promise. And He shall be their peace when the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces. Why worry when you can pray to the Prince of Peace? Come to Him in prayer, and He will give you peace that passes all understanding. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, in other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, my dear child of God, cast all your worries, all your cares upon the Lord, because He cares for you. I know Satan tells you the opposite, that God does not care for you. But in the gospel, we know that Jesus cares for you. One hymn writer puts it this way, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares. Do you have the same confidence? Can you say by the grace of God that no matter what happens to you, no matter what others may tell to you, even if they tell you the exact opposite of what God tells you in His Word, you will say, I know that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, cares for me. But again, you might respond upon hearing that, maybe silently, quietly, deep within you, you are saying, I don't think He cares for me. Look what God did to me. If He really cares for me, then why did He allow this thing to happen to my life, to my family? Why? If He really cares, why did He take my loved one from me? Why did He give me this disease, this cancer? Why? Well, we may not know why. We may not know the reason why. But this we know, that our Lord can use all our trials, all our Assyrians, as it were, to accomplish His eternal plan or purpose in our lives. And remember this, even Jesus Himself faced all these enemies. He faced Satan. He faced sin. He faced suffering. He died on the cross. He died on the cross. He faced our last enemy, which is death. Oh, but He succeeded. He went through all those trials victorious, so that we can share His victory, so that we can sing, "Oh, victory in Jesus." That's why now He can be our peace indeed. And our Lord also can overrule all the Assyrians that we have in this life to, again, accomplish His wonderful plan for you. Yes, you might say to me, "But you have no idea what I'm going through right now." You're right. I don't know exactly what you're going through right now. But God does. You have no idea. I am surrounded by Assyrians right now. I feel so overwhelmed, so discouraged, so down, so disappointed. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But let me tell you this. We have Jesus, who is our peace in the midst of all our Assyrians. And He can use whatever Assyrian you have for your good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And we know that ultimately the word "good" in verse 28 of Romans chapter 8 refers to the conformity in verse 29, our conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, whatever Assyrian you have, that's designed for your sanctification. For your sanctification. It is for your good. It is for your good. And yes, whatever Assyria you have, God can use it to fulfill His plan of redemption, His perfect plan for you. You know, I'm thinking of David. Think of David. Why did God allow David to commit adultery with Bathsheba? Have you ever asked that question? Adultery is so painful, so evil. It destroys families. But think about this, how God overruled David's sin of adultery and even murder. He murdered Uriah. We can say, humanly speaking, had David not committed adultery, Solomon would not have been born because of Bathsheba. And without Solomon, of course, we know that the Messiah would not have been born because the Messiah came from the line of Solomon. There you see how our God can overrule even the sin of murder, the sin of adultery, basically all kinds of sin, to accomplish His eternal plan. And I think the best example that I can give to you is what happened on the cross of Calvary. Let me ask you this simple question. How did Jesus defeat the devil? How did Jesus destroy Satan? Through the evil of the cross. In other words, God in His sovereignty, in His wisdom, in His providence, God used the evil of the cross. When people shouted, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," God used that to destroy the devil, because it is through His death that Satan was defeated. The death of Jesus Christ, that atoning death, is what killed our sin. And of course we know, yes, Jesus died, but He rose again from the dead. And that resurrection guarantees our own resurrection, so that, yes, one day we will face our last enemy. Yes, one day we will have to cross the River Jordan. We will have to go through that painful experience of death. And yet we know once we pass that, there is life awaiting us. And we also know that we will not go through that trial, that we will not face our last enemy by ourselves, because Jesus will be with us. He will cross that river of death with us. Jesus is our peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace within yourself? You know, Herbert George Wells, known as H.G. Wells, a prolific English writer, once said, "The time has come for me to reorganize my life. My peace, I cry out. I cannot adjust my life to secure any fruitful peace. Here I am at 64, still seeking peace. It is a hopeless dream." Imagine that. At the age of 64, H.G. Wells was still seeking peace, but he could not find it because he was trying to find it in a wrong place and in a wrong person. Because the truth is, true peace can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what it means? It means if you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. And if you die without Jesus, you will experience eternal punishment in the lake of fire, not eternal peace with God in heaven. A woman lay dying, and this minister came to this woman and sat beside her and tried to break the news as gently as he could. He said, "They think your time is short." And this dying woman said, "Yes, I know. I know it. I know I am dying, yet I have no fear of meeting God. I am resting in the peace which Jesus Christ made in his atoning death upon the cross." Oh, God forbid. Oh, God forbid. What if you were to die tonight? And I'm asking you that question out of love, not to scare you. Because the truth is, the Bible says, it is appointed to man once to die, and there is judgment after that. Young people, don't think that you are strong, that you cannot die yet. Death can come to anyone at any moment. You can die right now. Oh, God forbid. But what if you were to die tonight? Would you die with peace? Would you be able to say, "I know I am dying, yet I have no fear of meeting God. I am resting in the peace which Jesus Christ made in his atoning death upon the cross." Is Jesus your peace? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that Jesus is our peace, yes, against Satan, against our sin, but even against our last enemy, which is death. Oh, we thank you so much, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you are the Prince of Peace. We thank you for reconciling us to your Father. We thank you for giving us peace that passes all understanding. Indeed, even as David says, "God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Lord, we thank you because with this peace, we can dine with you. When we have the Lord's Supper, we can come to the Lord's table. We can eat with you even in the presence of our enemies because we have Jesus who who is our peace. And we thank you. With Jesus, we don't need to worry. We don't need to panic, to despair. Oh, why worry when we can come to Him in prayer? Lord, bless your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.